A Memorial Weekend Warbird ride goes awry. A family of three is rescued 15 hours after their plane went down in the mountains of Idaho. And TSA tests a new cookie-cutter scanner. This is Aero News for Tuesday, May 29th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. A group of unsuspecting passengers got the ride of a lifetime this weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina, when the B-24 bomber Diamond Lil lost its nose gear on landing. W.E. Carter of Charlotte said he was on the plane when it took off around 3 p.m. Saturday for a 30-minute ride, but as the pilot prepared to land, he said the crew realized the landing gear wasn't working. The plane circled for about another hour as the crew cranked the landing gear down by hand. The News Observer reports that the pilot landed the B-24 with the main gear down and locked, but the nose gear collapsed and the plane slid down the runway, where emergency responders were waiting. The passengers were taken off the plane quickly. Autumn Hicks, spokeswoman for the Commemorative Air Force, said the crew followed proper safety protocol, allowing the plane to land safely. The plane suffered minimal damage, and federal authorities will investigate the incident. The B-24 Diamond Lil was among three World War II aircraft on display and offering rides at the Carolinas Aviation Museum this weekend. A P-51 fighter and the last airworthy B-29 bomber, better known as Fifi, were also on hand. A family of three are resting in stable condition, having spent 15 hours on a snowy mountainside in Idaho after their Cessna went down in the trees late Saturday night. The plane was piloted by Brian Brown, a firefighter who was flying with his wife, Jayanne Brown, and their adult daughter from their home in Wilton, California to Mountain Home, Idaho, when the plane went down Saturday evening. The daughter got a signal on a cell phone early Sunday morning and called for help. The Idaho National Guard dispatched a medical helicopter to locate the downed plane, but heavy snow and whiteout conditions prevented the medical chopper from making a rescue. Searchers then hiked in on foot through 6-foot snowdrifts to reach the crash site and then started a fire and wrapped the family in blankets while awaiting an airlift. The three survivors were finally flown by helicopter to a medical center one at a time on Sunday afternoon, more than 15 hours after the plane had gone down. They were all treated and are listed in stable condition. Though barely 1 year into flight testing, Dassault says its newest aircraft, the twin-engine Falcon 2000S, is already demonstrating performance figures substantially higher than the capabilities announced when the program was launched. To date, the test aircraft has accumulated more than 300 flight hours in over 130 flights and opened up the full flight envelope and demonstrated excellent handling capabilities. The latest phase of the campaign revealed that low-speed performance will be significantly better than targeted figures, up to 10% for landing distances. Low-speed performance is not only a key factor for safety, but it also determines range and payload characteristics when operating out of or into short or constricted airfields. The better-than-expected low-speed performance will greatly expand the number of secondary airports the aircraft can serve. Still to come are integration and flight test certification of the Falcon 2000S's EZ2 flight deck. The first green production aircraft is fully assembled at Dassault's Bordeaux production plant. It will be ferried to the company's Little Rock, Arkansas completion center in June for outfitting and painting. Aircraft certification is anticipated by the end of this year. The TSA says new scanner technology installed last week at Westchester County Airport in New York will enhance security while maintaining passengers' privacy. The new technology is called Automated Target Recognition, which detects metallic and non-metallic items that might constitute a threat. Airport officials say the machine uses a cookie-cutter image and not the actual image of a person's body to show where a potential threat might be located, thus maintaining an individual's privacy. The Greenwich Times reports that the advanced imaging technology machine doesn't depict body parts on the screen, and TSA officials say it doesn't matter if you're 7 feet tall or 5'2", male or female. The millimeter wave technology, which TSA says is safe for all travelers, emits 1,000 times less electromagnetic waves than international guidelines allow. A passenger can elect to forego the machine, but then will have to go through a pat-down search. Is it just me, or does this new scanner sound a lot like an overblown Operation board game? The U.S. Army and Northrop Grumman officials are hoping that they'll be able to successfully fly a huge unmanned airship over Lakehurst, New Jersey in the next couple of weeks, called the Long Endurance Multi-Intelligence Vehicle, or LEMV. The aircraft has been designed as a surveillance tool for the Army, and its first flight is about a year behind schedule. Military airships have been beset with problems ranging from integration of the necessary equipment to undefined missions. But Northrop Grumman and the Army say that the LMV will redefine persistent surveillance. The first flight profile calls for the $500 million 300-foot-long airship to take a short flight around Lakehurst before being flown to Tampa, Florida, where it will be mated with a gondola equipped with cameras and radio gear. From there, it will fly across the Atlantic in early winter for a demonstration in an unspecified theater. NGC says the LMV will fill roles beyond surveillance. The current model can carry up to 20 tons of cargo. Made larger, they claim it could carry hundreds of tons at a cost far less than fixed-wing airplanes. The 50th 767-300 freighter was delivered to UPS by Boeing this past week. The airplane joins the world's largest 767 freighter fleet. The 767 freighter is based on the popular 767-300ER, or Extended Range Passenger Airplane. Able to carry approximately 58 tons of revenue cargo with intercontinental range, the 767 freighter is ideal for developing new long-haul, regional, or feeder markets. UPS boasts a 767 freighter fleet reliability of over 99% and calls the 767 the workhorse of their fleet. The Louisville, Kentucky-based logistics services provider has nine more 767 freighters on order. When Aero News continues, Britain's Lake District may soon feature historic seaplane rides. NASA is go for launch of a new iPhone app and taking fitness to an entirely new altitude.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, May 29th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Winston Churchill's first pre-war seaplane is set to take to the skies for the first time in over 100 years. Championed by Churchill, then First Lord of the Admiralty, Waterbird made its maiden flight in November 1911, making it Britain's first seaplane. The late Prime Minister even joined creator Edward Wakefield behind the controls when the pioneering craft first took flight. Now, more than a century later, a replica of the Waterbird is being built, and promoters want to take 12 tourist flights a year on Lake Windermere in the Lake District. They just need to convince the government to lift a 10-mile-per-hour speed limit on the lake. That limit was imposed in 2005 after a pressure group campaigned to restore the tranquility of England's largest lake. Waterbird needs a waiver because it has to skim the surface of the water before becoming airborne at 30 miles per hour. The Lake District National Park Authority is backing the project, along with the Lakes Flying Company, the charity behind the proposal. The project also has the backing of Sir Humphrey Wakefield, the great-nephew of Waterbird's creator, Edward Wakefield. It's expected the plane will become a major tourist attraction. NASA has launched an updated version of the free NASA app for iPhone and iPod Touch. The NASA app 2.0 includes new features like weather forecast in the spacecraft sighting opportunities section, maps, information, and links to all of NASA's visitor centers, a section about NASA's programs, as well as the ability to print, save, and access favorite items and bookmark images. The NASA App 2.0 requires iOS 5.0 or later. This is the first major redesign of the NASA app for iPhone since its original release in 2009. All of the NASA apps for iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, and Android showcase a wealth of NASA content, including thousands of images, videos on demand, live streaming of NASA television, the agency's Third Rock online radio station, mission and launch information, featured content, stories, and breaking news. Users can find sighting opportunities for the International Space Station and track the position of the orbiting laboratory. In total, NASA apps have been downloaded by more than 8.8 million people. We've all seen video of astronauts running on a treadmill while on the space shuttle or the space station, so maybe in that context, this story is just not that unusual. But an Australian runner has just run a half marathon, that's 13.3 miles, on a miniature treadmill in a basket of an airborne hot air balloon. Gizmodo relays a story for the UK newspaper The Telegraph about Rob Ginnivan, who undertook the attempt in an effort to raise $100,000 for the Heart Foundation by running on land, at sea, and in the air. Ginnivan said the stunt was harder than it sounds. The size of the treadmill made it necessary for him to take much smaller strides than usual, and the rocking of the basket made it difficult for him to keep his balance. Also, the basket had a slight incline, so he said it was like running uphill the entire time. In all, Ginnivan said it took about twice as long for him to run the distance aboard the balloon than it would have had he been on the ground. Finally, this bittersweet story of one man's dream to fly caught our attention. It took 38 years before Bob Humbert took off in his home-built airplane. Now it will never touch down again. The 74-year-old retired microbiologist recently donated the single-engine Pete and Pole air camper to the Aeronautical Museum near Kalamazoo Battle Creek International Airport. Humbert started planning the plane way back in the 1960s and constructing it on his dining room table, but it wasn't until 2007 that he took his first solo flight. Later, Humbert developed positional vertigo and never again flew the open cockpit monoplane designed to be powered by a Ford Model A engine. Humbert, now battling cancer, donated the plane to the Air Zoo, where he has volunteered for the last 8 years. The Air Zoo is an aviation theme park and museum featuring amusement park-style rides, full-motion flight simulators, as well as more than 50 rare and historic aircraft, plus exhibits and educational activities for the entire family. I know today it's back to work for most of us following the holiday weekend, but this story caught my eye on the Air Zoo website, so if you'll allow me just one last note to our veterans. This summer, veterans who served during World War II and the Korean War will have a chance to take flight for free. Beginning June 19th, veterans will be able to fly in a Boeing Stearman N2S-5 Cadet, courtesy of the Air Zoo and pilot sponsor Alan Wright. The Cadet is an open cockpit aircraft that served as the U.S. Navy's primary trainer during World War II. Flights will take place on Tuesdays through August the 21st, weather permitting. Flights will be scheduled on a first-come, first-served basis, and those who are flying must sign a waiver and be able to get in and out of the aircraft on their own. A maximum of 5 flights per day will be offered. The Air Zoo says this is the 7th year of their program, and it's just their way of giving back to our veterans. We hope you had an enjoyable holiday weekend, and as always, we thank you for listening. I'm Glenn Boyer. You're now cleared for departure.